This message is a presentation of Pinnacle Baptist Church and the preaching ministry of Pastor Ray McBerry. Other messages like this are available online at pinnaclebaptist.com. The church is located at 2517 High Falls Road in Griffin, Georgia. If you're in the area, we would love for you to visit us this Sunday. Now, here's today's message.
All right, well, tonight we're in Genesis chapter number 10. That means we're back in one of those chapters in Genesis that has the genealogies in it. So-and-so lived so many years and begat so-and-so and had this many sons, and he had this many sons. So a lot of people, like we've talked about before, they just tend to skip over these chapters with the genealogy in them. But Genesis chapter 10 is especially important because this particular chapter gives us the outline for the entire history of mankind based upon the breakdown of nations that are still around in the world today to a large degree. And so as we go through chapter 10, what we're going to see are the three sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and we'll see their sons and their grandsons. And we'll begin to see a little bit of the family tree of humanity so that these individuals that come about right after the flood, they're going to be the founders, the fathers, if you would, of the different nations of the earth. And those nations are still, most of them, in existence today, some of them by different names than they were back then, but still basically the same nations that are around today. And so we will see the fathers of these different nations, how these relate to one another, and it will, I think, also give us a little bit of an idea about what's going on in the world today, especially in the area that we call the Middle East. And so that's kind of the overview for what we're going to see tonight. For those that are here tonight, you're going to be getting really what I would call the meat of the Word. It's going to be some of the stuff that the average Christian doesn't know, but I trust it'll be a blessing to you, and it'll kind of flesh out and make more meaningful some of the other passages in the book of Genesis. So here we are now, Genesis chapter number 10, beginning in verse 1. Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them were sons born after the flood. So normally when we have sons that are given, they're going to be in a descending order. They're going to start with the eldest son and go down to the youngest son. So the sons of Noah, Shem is the eldest, Ham is the middle son, and Japheth is the younger. It says, and unto them were sons born after the flood. So the three sons of Noah, they're going to begin to have sons too because God told them to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth after the flood. And of course, we saw at the beginning of chapter 9, God blessed Noah and his sons. So they are going to be bountiful. They're going to have lots and lots of children, both them and their children as well. Verse number 2, now we begin to see the descendants of Japheth. Now, Japheth is the baby of the family. He's the youngest son. These are the sons of Japheth. Gomer and Magog and Madai and Javan and Tubal and Meshech and Tiras. And the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz and Riphath and Togarma. And the sons of Javan, Elisha and Tarshish, Kittim and Dodanim. By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, every one after his tongue, after their families in their nations. All right, now in verse 5, we have a word we are seeing for the first time in the Bible. Of course, we're going to see it many times after this, especially in the New Testament, but it's the word Gentiles. And so we'll go ahead and identify what a Gentile is, although probably everybody here is familiar with that. T.R., what's a Gentile? Anyone who's not a Jew, that's right. And, of course, we know that the Jews are going to come from the lineage of Shem, the son of Noah. So all the other sons and grandsons of Japheth and Ham and the other children of Shem, they're all going to be Gentiles. So here we see the beginning of some of the nations of the Gentiles. Anyone that's not a Jew is a Gentile. All right, now I want us to look at some of these names, and I've drawn one of my very crudely drawn maps of the quote-unquote Middle East, so I see lots of smiles out there. Remember, anybody that thinks they can do better, you're always welcome to to volunteer to draw the map for us, and I'll be happy for you to do that. But we're going to try to use this map, and I'm going to try to describe for you the areas where some of these that we know of settled. Now, that doesn't mean that we know where all of them settled exactly, but we have a pretty good idea from ancient history where many of the nations that are named here originated. So what we want to recall is that after the flood, the ark came to rest on the mountains, plural, of where?
Ararat.
Ararat. And so Ararat is, it's in part of Turkey, a very mountainous area. Remember, Ararat is not one mountain, it's a region of mountains. So we'll look at that in a moment. But let's try to identify some of these places and geographical features on the map so we kind of get our bearings here. We'll start with this river down here because it's probably the easiest landmark on the map. What's this river down here? The Nile River, that's right. And, of course, there's the Nile Delta. So what's this big body of water to the north of Egypt? That's right. It's the Mediterranean Sea. We've got some other bodies of water. We'll try to identify them now. This down here has two little fingers sticking up. This is, what's this body of water that has two fingers sticking up? This is the Red Sea. All right, so I don't have a lot of room, but there's the Red Sea, and that's also part of the Red Sea. All right, this, by the way, this peninsula that sticks down into the Red Sea is a peninsula that's still in the news a lot today. It's a peninsula between Egypt and Israel. What's this peninsula down here called? Anybody remember? The Sinai Peninsula. Yep. All right. So here's the Sinai Peninsula, all right? And then over here, of course, is what we call the Promised Land, the land of Israel today. And there are several bodies of water we want to mention here. First of all, that river that flows, that connects these other two, what river is that in Israel? The Jordan, okay. And then the body of water down here to the south of the Jordan River. That's the Dead Sea. That's right. All right. And then what's this sea up here to the north? The Sea of Galilee. All right, good. All right. Well, then there's another big body of water over here that kind of extends up northward, kind of like the Red Sea. What's this big body of water over here? I'll give you a hint. It, too, is in the news for the last 50 years off and on as well. We've had a couple of major military engagements over there. What's that? It's a gulf. What gulf is it?
Suez.
No, not the Suez Gulf. Suez would be over here in Egypt. This is the Persian Gulf. All right. So there's the Persian Gulf. And coming up out of the Persian Gulf are two rivers. What are those two famous rivers? TR? Tigris and Euphrates. All right. So here's the Tigris. And here's the Euphrates, the mighty Euphrates. All right? Then kind of moving over here, here's the Black Sea. What's this peninsula that sticks out into the Mediterranean, separates the Mediterranean from the Black Sea? Might not be as easy to see from my map as it would be on a regular map. But there's a big peninsula that sticks out there. TR, what's that? No, it's not the Balkans. This is part of the Balkan Peninsula right here across from it. This is actually supposed to be what Paul referred to as Asia. We call it Asia Minor in ancient history. Today it's the country of Turkey. And so this is Turkey right here. Then over across the Aegean Sea, this is the Aegean, cross over here, this is Greece. We've got a couple of islands that are on the map because they're significant. What's this island right here just south of Turkey, Alex? Cyprus. By the way, in our adult Sunday school class, we're going through the book of Acts. We met somebody this morning in the book of Acts who was from Cyprus. Who was it? Barnabas, that's right. Very good. All right, and then there's another long island over here just south of Greece. What's this island that's in the Mediterranean?
Sardinia.
No, that one's going to be further to the west, Uncle Milton. TR? Yeah, TR's cheating because he already heard the answer. Yeah, Crete. That's the answer. All right, so this is a bird's eye view of the area we're talking about. When Noah and his sons landed on Mount Ararat, it would have been in the western mountainous part of Turkey in this area right here. So this is the area somewhere in here where the ark came to rest. What we're going to see then is the people coming off that ark are going to spread out in different directions, but they're going to tend toward the area that's the most fertile, the best farmland. They're not going to necessarily, most of them tend to go in the direction of the most mountainous areas. They're going to go towards the places where the land's flat, the land's fertile, and there are rivers for both navigation and for cultivation as well. So here we are, the sons of Japheth. The sons of Japheth, we see Gomer, Magog, and some others. Gomer is typically associated with the tribes that moved northward and westward up into what is today Europe, this area up here that's off our map. Does anyone know what modern-day country is generally associated with Gomer? TR? No, not Greece. Further to the north in Europe.
No.
Gomer is generally associated with the country of modern-day Germany, the Germanic peoples, the Germanic tribes. So we're looking at the sons of Japheth. We've got Germany up here, Gomer. We also see Magog. What modern-day country is associated with Magog? Magog, by the way, is also mentioned in the book of Ezekiel, the first and second battles of Gog and Magog in the end times. Does anybody know where Gog and Magog today? That's Russia. That's exactly right. So right away, we see the descendants of Japheth, two major world powers even today, Gomer, which started in Turkey, and then they continued to move northward and westward, make up the Germanic tribes. Then Gog and Magog over here would be Russia. Those are all descendants of Japheth, these that we see listed right here. So there's Gomer, there's Magog, there's Meshech, which is mentioned a little farther down in the same verse. Meshech, we believe, or at least a lot of Bible scholars believe, archaeologists believe, that there is a significant likelihood that Meshech is the ancient name for Moscow, the modern-day city of Moscow. So they too would have settled in that area of Russia. So all of these descendants of Japheth, they're moving westward and northward. Tubal, that's mentioned here, is also a number of Bible scholars associate Tubal with the Russian country of Tobolsk, T-O-B-O-L-S-K, and it is also somewhere up here just above the Black Sea. So what we see is that the descendants of Japheth, by and large, they're moving northward and westward after they come off the ark there at Mount Ararat. They're moving this direction. So we can then kind of deduce that for the most part, when we talk about the descendants of Japheth, we're talking about the European nations for the most part. There are a few others here over in verse 3. We see the sons of Gomer, which are those Germanic tribes, Ashkenaz. I don't know if you are familiar with the term Ashkenazi Jews, but Ashkenazi Jews are Jews that are said to have originated in part of Germany. That's why they're called Ashkenaz Jews, is because they're Jews from Germany. So that too shows us that is related to Gomer. He's a son of Gomer, who is the original father of modern-day Germany and the Germanic tribes. Then you see the word Togarmah. Togarmah is mentioned as a son of Gomer. And Togarmah historically was associated with the northern part of Turkey. So apparently some of the sons of Gomer, those Germanic tribes, didn't go all the way up into Europe. Some of them settled on the northern parts of Turkey, but still moving northward and westward as the descendants of Japheth. Verse number 4, we see the sons of Javan, Elisha and Tarshish, Kittim and Dodanim. Now, I can't tell you where all of these settled, but I can tell you where we believe two of these sons settled. Tarshish is another name that we find in another book of the Old Testament. Anybody remember something about a Bible story that involved Tarshish?
Yes. Can't call the name of God. Jonah.
Jonah, that's right. Jonah was, he was supposed to go to Nineveh.
Yeah, he thought he could go to Tarshish.
Yeah, that's right. He didn't want to go to Nineveh to preach, so he went the opposite direction. Got on a boat headed towards Tarshish, the Bible tells us in the book of Jonah. Tarshish, we believe, is way to the west. It's on the other end of the Mediterranean Sea. It is what we today call Spain. And so the southern coast of Spain is what most archaeologists and historians, even that are not Bible archaeologists, believe is where Tarshish was located. The southern coast of Spain. So again, these are all the descendants of Japheth, so they're all settling in what we call Europe, even as far west as Spain. And then that other son that's named Kittim, K-I-T-T-I-M, that is another name for Chittim, which is an ancient name for the island of Cyprus. So here we see that the sons of Javan, which are one of the sons of Japheth, his sons are settling these islands and along the coastal areas there in the Mediterranean Sea. But again, all northward and westward in Europe. So if we had to just kind of make a generalization about who the sons of Japheth were, who the descendants of Japheth were, what people in the world today are the descendants primarily of Japheth? Well, we would say the Europeans. All of the European nations, all of these from here, northward and westward, all of these in Europe would be the sons, the descendants of Japheth. So Japheth is the father of the European nations, his descendants. All right, now let's look at, he's the youngest of the three. We're taking a step one back to the middle son now. His descendants are mentioned next, and that's Ham. Verse 6, the sons of Ham, Cush, Mizraim, and Put, and Canaan. All right, so we see here four sons, and now we're going to identify who each of these sons' sons were. All right, so Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan. And the sons of Cush, Seba, and Havilah, and Sabta, and Ramah, and Sabtica, and the sons of Ramah, Sheba, and Dedan. And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calna in the land of Shinar. Out of that land went forth Asher, and builded Nineveh, and the city Rehoboth, and Calah, and Rezin between Nineveh and Calah, the same as a great city. All right, so let's take the sons of Cush first. The sons of Cush, we have a description for where they settled. The sons of Cush settled generally, here's Japheth. His sons or descendants are going northward and westward into Europe. As the descendants of Ham begin to spread out, they're spreading out southward. So we're going to see some of them that are going to settle way down here into what is below our map here, kind of the the eastern coast of Africa and part of Saudi Arabia. And then also, though, some of them are going to settle here in the land of Shinar. Shinar is another name for what you in history class learned as Mesopotamia, land between the two rivers. Mesopotamia, of course, is that land also called the Fertile Crescent in world history. It's that very fertile bunch of land between the Tigris and the Euphrates rivers. Some of Ham's sons settled in this area. And one of them, his grandson, is named Nimrod. Ham begat Cush, and Cush begat Nimrod. So Nimrod is the grandson of Ham. We know we're going to see Nimrod again. Nimrod is, well, he's considered the founder of Babel, which is where we're going to see the Tower of Babel in the very next chapter. So Cush, Nimrod, some of Nimrod's cities were Babel, Erech, Akkad, Calneh, in the land of Shinar. So he's building the city of Babel here on the Euphrates River, along with a number of other cities in the plains of Shinar. One of the descendants of Ham that's mentioned here is also Asher, which built the city of Nineveh up here in the northern part of the plains of Shinar. So all in this area here, we have the sons of Ham. They're moving south from Ararat when they spread out from the ark. All right, now those, we've seen some of the sons of Ham. The ones we've just looked at are the ones from Ham's son Cush. Let's see who his next son is that we've got names for. Verse 13. And Mizraim, this is one of Ham's other sons, begat Ludim and Anamim and Lahabim and Naphtuhim and Pathrusim and Casluhim, out of whom came Philistim and Kaphtorim. All right, so another one of Ham's sons, besides Cush, was Mizraim. Mizraim, that is actually one of the ancient names, the oldest name that historians have found for the modern day country of Egypt. Let's see. So here's Egypt. Those are the descendants of Ham as well. Mizraim was his name, and Mizraim is an ancient name for Egypt. But interestingly enough, we have two other names that are sons of Mizraim. Mizraim had one son named Philistim. What does that sound similar to? The Philistines. So the Egyptians, these Hamites, are also the descendants of the Philistines that ended up settling over here in along the coast in the southern part of Israel. It's what today we call the Gaza Strip, where the Palestinians live today. Palestinians are named after the Philistines that originally inhabited that strip of land. And a lot of people think of the Philistines as being actually Greeks. But here's an interesting twist for you. You see, the next name, or one of the other names here, who is a son of Mizraim, was Kaphtorim. Kaphtor, or Kaphtorim, is actually an ancient name for Greece and the Greeks. So the Greeks, Mizraim, actually sprung off the Philistines and the southern portion of Greece here, which would also include the island of Crete. These people that became known as the Philistines and the Minoans on Crete and the Greeks in the southern part of modern-day Greece, they were originally referred to in history as the Sea Peoples, because they traveled everywhere they went by sea. But they're all related to Mizraim, the father of Egypt, who is a Hamite, Noah's second son. All right, let's see where the other sons of Ham settle. We've got the sons of Cush and the sons of Mizraim. Let's see where the rest of the Hamites settled. Look at verse 15. And Canaan, this is another son of Ham. Canaan begat Sidon, his firstborn. Now, Sidon is sometimes spelled with an S. Sometimes in history books it's spelled with a Z. Zidon, Sidon. It's usually seen in conjunction with another city, Tyre and Sidon. Where are the cities of Tyre and Sidon? T-R? Phoenicia. And Phoenicia is another name for what modern day country? Do you remember? Anybody remember? Phoenicia, the Phoenicians, where did they come from? You got to think back to your world history in 10th grade. You're exactly right, Milton. Lebanon. So here's Israel. Here's the modern day country of Israel. Lebanon is up here to the north of Israel. And here in Lebanon, you have the cities of Tyre and Sidon. Well, the city of Sidon is named after this particular son of the Hamites. T.R.? Yeah, they had a strong economy, that's right, because they were a seafaring people also. They built their cities on the coast. But you're right, they were not necessarily strong militarily, but they did start colonies all over the Mediterranean. And that comes in later in Roman history. But here are the Phoenicians, Sidon being one of those two major cities there, named after a son of Canaan. Now, we know the name Canaan because the Canaanites are the arch enemies of the Israelites when they come into the Promised Land. So that lets us know right away, yeah, here's some of the Canaanites right there, but the rest of the Canaanites live all right here in this same area where the Israelites are going to be living, where the modern state of Israel is today. So the Canaanites are inhabiting this land. One of the next sons of Canaan that's mentioned is Heth. I'm going to put a dot down here in the southern part of Israel because when we get over to the study of Abraham, I want you to remember the name Heth, H-E-T-H, because Heth and his sons are going to be some of the individuals that Abraham interacts with in the Promised Land. In fact, Abraham is going to end up buying a field with a cave from the sons of Heth. So these are Canaanites. They live in the land of Canaan. That's why it's called the land of Canaan, because that's where the Canaanites live. So they are going to become the arch enemies of Israel. And that goes back to part of that curse upon Canaan that we saw in the last chapter because of his father Ham's sin. Some of the other Canaanites that are listed there, verse 16, the Jebusites. Anybody know what major city in the Old Testament is associated with the Jebusites? Jerusalem, that's right. Jerusalem was the major city of the Jebusites. Now, today it's an Israelite city, but that was not until David conquered it when he became king. It's the city of the Jebus is what the name I think comes from there, but I don't know about the other thing you were referencing there. We'll have to hold off on that one. We'll have to hold on to that one. So the Jebusites, which is Jerusalem, the Amorite and the Girgashite and the Hivite and the Arkite and the Sinite and the Arvadite and the Zemarite and the Hamathite. And afterward were the families of Canaanites spread abroad. And the border of the Canaanites was from Sidon as thou goest to Gerar unto Gaza, as thou goest unto Sodom and Gomorrah and Admah and Zeboim, even unto Lasha. These are the sons of Ham after their families, after their tongues, in their countries, and in their nations. Now, the Amorites is another group that we're going to see throughout the book of Genesis that figure prominently into the history of Israel later on when they're coming into the Promised Land. The Amorites actually, they lived in all of this area where the other Canaanites lived, but they also lived on the other side of Jordan over here on the east side in the land that is modern-day country of Jordan as well. So this is pretty much the area of the Canaanites that were some of the Hamites. So we see that the sons of Ham, they all settled to the south and down into Africa. These are where the sons of Ham settled, plus some of them went over into Mesopotamia. But they all went south for the most part. Those are the sons of Ham. Now, we see that the Japhethites mostly went northward and westward. The Hamites went southward and westward down into Africa. And now let's look at the Shemites, the descendants of Shem. Verse 21. Unto Shem also, the father of all the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth, the elder, even to him were children born. And the children of Shem, Elam, and Asher, and Arphaxad, and Lud, and Aram. Okay, so these are his sons. Now we're going to see his grandchildren next, but let me give you some of these countries that come from his direct sons. Elam, the Elamites. In maps of ancient history, you'll find the Elamites living right here. The Elamites are some of the people that live in what is today Iran. They are some of the ancient Persians. So the Persians, the Iranians, are actually related to the Israelites who were from Shem as well. But they're distant cousins. But there are the Elamites. Then it also says an Asher. Now, this is a different Asher than the Asher that was a descendant of Ham. So there's another Asher that settles in this area of Mesopotamia as well. TR? This is the same area as Assyria. That area that we call Assyria, that became the Assyrian Empire, it's actually being settled by both Hamites and Shemites at the same time, right after the flood, which causes some confusion and some wars as well. Another one is Arphaxad, and Arphaxad was the name of an ancient city here between the Tigris and Euphrates rivers in Mesopotamia as well. So now let's see the children of these different sons. The children of Aram, Uz, and Hul, and Gether, and Mash. How would you like to have one of those names? Verse 24. And Arphaxad begat Selah, and Selah begat Eber. And unto Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his days was the earth divided. So here we have an interesting tidbit stuck in the middle of genealogy. This boy's name was Peleg, and his daddy named him Peleg because his name means in his day was the earth divided. Now, there are two different ways we can take this, and historians disagree over which one is meant. There are some who believe that that simply means that in his day, the nations began to be divided in the world. There are also some historians and Bible scholars, though, who believe that in his day is when the earth literally began to split apart geographically, and the continents began to shift and separate into the places where the continents today are. And perhaps it was the actual continents, the earth itself, that was dividing and separating. So I think in reality, both were taking place, because right after the Tower of Babel, all the nations are separated and the earth was divided. But also it's possible that that's when those tectonic plates permanently moved to where they are now.
All that did happen, it didn't happen in hundreds of millions of years. Right?
I think you're probably right. Yes, it certainly didn't happen in hundreds of millions of years. It certainly could have started at the time of the flood when the great fountains of the deep were broken up and things start moving around. And I think that's probably what's being referred to here. But in his day was the earth divided. Peleg. And his brother's name was Joktan. And Joktan begat Almadad and Sheleph and Hazarmaveth and Jera and Hadoram and Uzal and Dikla and Obal and Abimael and Sheba and Ophir and Havilah and Jobab. All these were the sons of Joktan. And their dwelling was from Mesha, as thou goest unto Sephar, a mount of the east. Now, it appears that the sons of Joktan that we're hearing about, they were down in Saudi Arabia and along the southern coast of Saudi Arabia. They're off our map here, but they would have been down here to the south, some very rich countries along the coast of what is today modern-day Saudi Arabia. So we see that the sons of Shem now, they're moving southward and eastward as well. When we have the Elamites and some of and Asher, some of his sons. So the Japhethites are moving northward and westward. The Hamites are moving southward and westward into Africa, primarily, although some of them are in the Middle East. And then some of the descendants of Shem are moving southward into Saudi Arabia and eastward into Asia, over in that direction. So we're getting a picture for where these three families kind of branch out. We see the end of the chapter, verse 31. These are the sons of Shem after their families, after their tongues, and in their lands after their nations. These are the families of the sons of Noah after their generations in their nations, and by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. So here's what I want to do, and for just a couple of minutes before we finish up tonight. It would be an overgeneralization to say that it was this exclusively, but for the most part, the descendants of Japheth moved northward and westward from the ark into Europe. The descendants of Japheth are primarily the European nations. I would suppose they are the ones from whom most of us eventually descended. Then you have the descendants of Ham. Some of his descendants settled here in the Middle East, and some spread down into Africa. Not all Africans at that time period were black. In fact, most of these people that are moving down in here, the ancient Egyptians, were not actually black. They actually have discovered some of the oldest mummies in Egypt have red hair and blonde hair. And they've done DNA on them and discovered that they're not at all related to most of the people that live in Egypt today. So the people that live in Egypt today, they're not direct descendants of those who originally settled Egypt, Mizraim and his sons. Where the others came from that are there today, I guess would be a hodgepodge of some of the others. But it is true that some of the sons of Ham do appear to have been black. Almost every ancient account of Nimrod describes Nimrod as being very black and a mighty hunter. So apparently some of the sons of Ham were black, but not all of them. But they settled in Africa. By the way, Put, which was another one of his sons besides Mizraim, that's the ancient name for Libya, which is here along the northern coast of Africa too. So again, the sons of Ham settled mostly to the south and to the west down in Africa, although some stayed here in the Middle East on the plain of Shinar. And then that brings us to the eldest son, Shem. Shem, from whom the Semites come, or the Shemites, his descendants settled south and to the east. I think one of the interesting things to point out here is that although we can make some generalizations about the Japhethites gravitating to Europe, the Hamites gravitating to Africa, and the Shemites gravitating towards the Middle East and further to the east, what you'll notice is that right here in the middle, in what we today call the Middle East is where there's an overlap of all three groups. And isn't it ironic that the part of the world that has been the most tumultuous for the last however many thousand years you want to go back is the Middle East? It's because they're from all the different families of the earth that came off the ark. They're not a homogeneous group. They're a heterogeneous group. They're not all related to, well, they're all related to each other, but they're all distantly related, but they're all settled in the same area. You have a bunch of different peoples from different families in the same place, and this center place where they're all kind of overlapped is where the most turmoil in the world is today. And that's historically the way that it's been. Yes, sir?
I was just going to say that just my personal opinion, but though, I think people, were they even aware of the present memory today, people have a long memory of racial memory, as it were, cultural memory.
Cultural memory, that's right.
And
yeah.
They never liked this guy over here. They never going to like him.
Yeah. I think there's something to be said for the fact that I was having this discussion not long ago with somebody else, not related to Bible stuff, but the civilizations in world history that are the most homogeneous in population, that is, their population is the most similar to each other, are usually the most peaceful places, the most culturally advanced places, and they are usually the strongest cultures in the world. In America, it started out that way when it was mostly Western Europeans that settled here in these United States. But increasingly throughout the 20th century and now in the 21st century, all of that's being watered down with people being brought into America for the most part from other places besides Western Europe. And now that's all breaking down here in America. And I think that there is a good argument to be made for that's the reason we have so much strife in America today. We're no longer a homogeneous population like we were for 200 years plus. But this at least gives all of us a bird's eye view of where the three sons' descendants settled. And a little bit, I think, of understanding of why the nations in the world today relate with each other or don't relate with each other very well because of where they originally descended. All right, any other questions or comments about the Table of Nations? That's what Genesis 10 is referred to, the Table of Nations.